Amen. Isn't he great? Good morning. Delighted to have you with us. Someone said, Pastor Joe, you're in the manger scene back there. And I thought, oh, probably going to tell me I was one of the wise men. Yeah. And the little kid went over and go, oh, yeah, you're right here, Pastor Joe. You know. God still speaks through jackasses, you know. Oh, man. Pray for me. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here. We got a new shipment of Bibles in, some fresh manna for you. And you're welcome to keep it. Merry Christmas to you. Why do we give out Bibles? Well, you saw why we do that this morning. Jim's iPad went out. You know, all the technology sometimes just goes crazy. But you know what? The Word of the Lord endures forever. And that's why we love God's Word here, and we don't put it up on the overhead. Because all you got to do is open your Bible to follow right along. And so this morning we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Turn with me there, if you would, please. I have a special prayer request before we get started. And it's a sad, sad prayer request. It's for a precious family that we ministered with in Vermont. As many of you know, we ministered in Vermont for 12 years. And a lot of people don't realize that one of the most dangerous times of the year is during the winter, because people have to maintain their stoves, wood, propane, whatever it might be. And we got a call this morning, a family that we know and love, their home blew up. And they have a daughter, 28 years old, that was blind, that is now in heaven with the Lord. And Bruce and Sally were medevaced from Vermont to the Boston Burn Center. So, and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. So let's pray for them this morning, please. Oh, Lord. We expect this time of the year to just be filled with joy and happiness and Christmas cheer. And it is, Lord. We still have that because the joy of the Lord is our strength. At the same time, life goes on. And people struggle with all sorts of things. And we're not exempt from trials and tests, troubles, tears, tribulation. And our hearts are heavy this morning for not only Bruce and Sally. We thank you, Lord, that Liz is in heaven. She probably had no idea when she sang, I'll be home for Christmas, how true that would be. At the same time, our hearts hurt. And I just do pray for Bruce and Sally. They're such precious people of yours. They love the Lord so. They love you, Lord. And so be with them. And Lord, if their burns are that bad, take them home, I pray. That's our heart's desire. And I do pray for others that are struggling and suffering, even within this fellowship this morning. Be the God of all comfort. Wrap your loving arms around them, and may they sense your love and your peace and your joy like never before. Thank you that you are still Emmanuel, God with us, every step of the way. So God, be glorified, I pray. In this situation, and we know that you will be somehow, some way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's funny, I mentioned the donkey. Little story about Bruce Cutts, one of the burn victims. Live manger thing for the Christmas season in Vermont, and somebody brought a cow and a donkey, and you know, we had the whole thing going on there. We're having a great time, and they're doing the Christmas story, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, Bruce has got this donkey with his arms around his neck, and the donkey's running. He's trying to, and it goes right across in front of everybody. It looked like a rodeo instead of a manger scene, and it was just incredible. Digging his heels in, you know, like a rodeo cowboy, and right on out the door they went. So, you know, we have some wonderful, fond memories of Bruce and Sally. So. Okay, Luke chapter 1 this morning. We've opened our Bibles, let's open our hearts. Father, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts through your precious word, which is truth. And Lord, we need truth in a world that's filled with fake news and lies and all sorts of things. And thank you, God, that here in our laps we have your word, God-breathed, inspired scripture. So teach us, Lord. I know for many it's a familiar story, the Christmas story. But make it fresh today. Give us wisdom and knowledge and insight. And as we open our Bibles, may our hearts be open to receive from you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anything more precious and exciting than a brand new little baby. You know, when he or she, only two genders, you know, we know that from Scripture, contrary to what we've done in America with that whole gender thing. When he or she is born into this world, they are a miracle from God, aren't they? There's nothing more tender and precious. But yet there is one thing more tender and precious, and that's when God the Son was born into this world as the Savior of the world. God with us, wrapped in human flesh. And sometimes, you know, we go through the Christmas season, we know the story, and we don't take the time to just step back and ponder how miraculous that is, that God would come into this world through a little tiny baby. You know, from the moment of conception, and I've been able to witness my kids and my grandkids, it's amazing how they change our lives, don't they? I thought kids were incredible, but man, when grandkids came along, that was even more incredible. And there's this excitement that takes place in mommy and daddy in their lives from the day that the test kit says positive. And all the wonderful things that take place in preparation for this new life that has just come into the world. And through modern technology, we can now know in advance whether it will be a boy or a girl. And we think that's pretty miraculous, don't we? We know when there's a pregnancy that has taken place, a baby has been conceived in the womb. Then we can find out what the gender is, a boy or a girl. And then they've added a new one. This is new to us older folks. One more reason to throw a party. And this one is called the Gender Revelation Party. Have you heard of that one yet? You guessed it. They reveal the gender. And they do it in a million different ways. You know, they can have a smoke thing go off, a blue if it's a boy and pink if it's a girl. And, you know, and this comes way before another party that we all get to enjoy. And that's called a baby shower. And notice I said all because back in my day, it was the ladies that had the baby shower. And just this last Sunday, I attended a baby shower, you know, with a bunch of guys and all the gals. And it was a great time celebrating a new addition to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert that should be here any day now. And it's just really, really exciting. Her name will be Amira. So, and Andrew and Elisa Rai are the ones that are going to be the proud parents. And so all of a sudden, you know, this all takes place within a short period of 9 months or so. So now you're thinking, where are you going with this one, Pastor Joe? Well, it's not a rabbit trail. I'm glad you asked. Did you know that there was a gender revelation that took place 5,000 years ago? Way, way, way in advance, before conception, that this little boy would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. And it's not by coincidence that even 5,000 years in advance that God would make preparation for his son, the one who is called the bread of life, to be born in a place called the house of bread. And by a virgin at that, and he would be born of the seed of woman. You see, after Adam and Eve's son plunged Or after Adam and Eve's sin, excuse me, plunged the human race into sin, God made a promise back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the one of the seed of woman would come and he would destroy the works of the devil. It tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And so for the next 3,000 years, God would send out announcements concerning this baby. We have a book that's filled with all of these announcements of the coming of the Son of God, God's only begotten Son. He would be called the Mashiach to the Jews, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He would be called the Christ, the Savior of the world. And there are more than 300 Old Testament prophecies that he fulfilled when he rode into Jerusalem on a colt of an ass as he was headed to the cross. Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know that the very first Christmas present was the very best? You can't top it. But for the last 2,000 years, we've been trying to upgrade. And I was looking online. You know me, I do these goofy things. Looking for the most expensive car I could buy my wife, Tina. Just joking. It's called a Bugatti. I can get one for a great deal on it for $3.7 million. Such a deal. You know, the TV tells you, if you really love her, after you go to Jared's, then you take her to the Bugatti dealer, right? My wife knows I love her because I take her to the thrift store. We already have the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. And my mind does crazy things, and I'm going, you know, if I got in that Bugatti, it just doesn't feel like it fits, right? But yet, when we take the greatest gift of all and invite Him into our hearts, we become one with Him. You can't become one with a Bugatti. It can't save you. Moth and rust are going to destroy it one day. But we have the greatest gift of all in Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. I even shared the odds of one person fulfilling just 8 Old Testament prophecies with the rabbi upstairs. He was blown away. For one person to fulfill 8, 10 to the 17th power, the number 10 was 17 zeros. To fill 45, how about 10 to the 57th power, 57 zeros? And there's no number for the 300 that Jesus Christ fulfilled absolutely perfectly. The rabbi just said, oy vey, you know? Yeah, that's amazing. Emmanuel, God with us, even His name, Jesus, means Jehovah saves, God saves. We know how He would be born according to Isaiah 7:14. We know where He would be born, Micah 5:2. We know the time of His coming, Daniel 9:25 and 26, and on and on and on and on. But yet, what are people doing to celebrate the birth of God with us, Emmanuel, the Savior of the world? Just like the religious Jews in Jerusalem, or in Bethlehem, when Christ was born, they missed Christmas. Who were the first attendees of the first Christmas? The outcasts, the cast-offs, the shepherds. They weren't even allowed to come into the temple because they were considered unclean. They had sheep dung on their sandals, and they were considered unclean, but yet they were the first ones to see the Christ child, to visit the manger in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? And do you know today that there are many religious people missing Christmas as well? It's just become sort of a secular holiday. They miss the greatest gift of all. Many, many, many people do. And as we look at this wonderful holiday and sing joy to the world, in all honesty, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my heart hurts. I'm going, what are you people doing? Can't you see? The greatest gift of all is right under your noses, and you're missing the greatest gift of all, God's Son. To be forgiven for all of our sins. To have a new heart, to have a new life, to have a new marriage, to have a new family. The list is endless. I'll name some of these things on Christmas Eve. Just what God has given us in this incredible package called Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. For centuries in advance, the promise of a Savior, the hope of Israel, hope for the world, and even our wonderful friends upstairs miss it. They're celebrating Hanukkah this week. I even shared with the secretary, you celebrate that the oil and the lamp burned for 8 days, that's a wonderful thing. But I said, you know what, I've got the oil of the Holy Spirit that's been burning in this temple for 35 years now. The person of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that the light shines continually every moment of every day for you and for me who believe? And so this morning in our text, we have a divine messenger again. Gabriel's a busy guy. He shows up again. We saw him last week where he visited Elizabeth and Zacharias, a couple that were advanced in age, the Bible tells us. He hadn't aged a bit, old Gabriel. You know, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were old, but Gabriel used to look pretty good ever since the book of Daniel. So this morning, a divine messenger is sent from God to Nazareth to reveal to a virgin by the name of Mary the most significant birth announcement the world has ever seen. My heart was broken again this week. You know, when you love God and you love His Word and you love His people, just because our president declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and it has been for 3,000 years, that the Muslim mayor of Nazareth has shut the city down for Christmas. He's only hurting his own people because they depend on that for revenue. How sad, though, that usually we watch television from the other side of the planet and we see them celebrating Christmas in Nazareth and Bethlehem and all of this. And I'm thinking, you know what? They can shut it down in Nazareth and they can shut it down in Bethlehem, but they can't shut it down in us. Because Jesus Christ is alive. And he's coming back again. Another thing that blew me away, and I'm not taking a shot at the Catholic Church, but the Pope was angry because Jerusalem was declared the capital of Israel. Hello, why don't you read your Bible? It's been that way 3,000 years. It's not going to change. And what's the name of the new city that's going to come down from heaven in the book of Revelation? The New Jerusalem. That's our forwarding address. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll get into the Word. Verse 26 this morning. But I just felt that it was important to have that introduction. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, there he is again, was sent by God to a city of Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged. The term is kiddushin. That's the engagement period, and the chuppah is the wedding. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. His name means he shall add of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So in the sixth month, it refers to, and we'll see this confirmed in our text this morning, it was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You know the story. She was way beyond the ability to bear a child, and God again did another miracle like he did with Abraham and Sarah. And through Elizabeth and Zacharias would be born the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, who would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make straight the way of the Lord." And Gabriel now brings a second miraculous birth announcement. Isn't it great? And he was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And most people would think that since this will be the birth of God's only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, that, many times they just take it as part of the Christmas story, not really understanding what it truly means. Many people think that Gabriel should have probably gone to Jerusalem. Isn't that the city of God? Isn't that the place that means the city of peace, the capital of Israel? And isn't it amazing how over and over in the Word of God we see how God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. God has ways of doing things to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt who he is. Because Christ would not be born in Nazareth. And even in her third trimester, Mary was still in Nazareth. But God, through his incredible sovereign will, causes there to be attacks on people from the house of David. And you know the story. Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. And it was in Bethlehem, of course, where Jesus Christ was born, according to Micah 5:2. And again, it is absolutely amazing how perfect this wonderful book is. And so many think, well, why wasn't he born in Jerusalem? Because God wanted to show his hand in this situation from beginning to end. When actually Nazareth, at that particular time, it says it's the city of Nazareth, but you look at the original language and it was just a small village, like a little hamlet of just a few hundred people. It wasn't really a big city. And isn't it just like our God to do great things in little places? That's just the way he works. And the real truth of the matter is that this little hamlet was despised by the Jews of Judea. And for a number of reasons. Number one, they were not kosher. Bacon on their breath, probably, or something, I don't know. And they had contact with the Gentiles. You know the story there. No religious Jew would have any contact with a Gentile. Are you kidding? Offscourings. They had low morals in Nazareth. And they were actually a city filled with drunkards. And isn't that just like the Lord? He goes to places like that still. Many of us were found in a place that no religious person would go, believe me. And in John 1, verses 45 and 46, when Philip told Nathanael that he had found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael's first response was, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Because he knew the type of town that it was, filled with debauchery and drunkenness and all. Oftentimes I tell people where I'm from. I'm from Massachusetts, and I always follow that up with, "Can any good thing come out of Massachusetts?" God saved me. He had to bring me to California to do it, but that's why we went back east to preach the gospel in Vermont, because it's very dark back there. Or somebody's busy today. But isn't that just like God? The places he goes, the people that he saves, God in his grace chooses this young girl from Nazareth by the name of Mary, a virgin, to be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Can't even imagine what that was like for this young teenage girl. For Gabriel, first of all, for an angel to show up, that would just blow you away, because every instance I find in Scripture where an angel shows up, that person is just terrified. And you look at John in the book of Revelation, he falls like a dead man on his face. And so here we see that Dr. Luke's bio on Mary is very simple. He doesn't exalt Mary. Interesting. When it comes to Mary, people tend to go to one of two extremes. And I'm not going to bash Mary, but I just have to share with you the truth of who she is. There are those that either magnify her so much that Jesus is secondary to her, or, on the other hand, the other extreme is they completely ignore her and fail to recognize her as a chosen vessel of God to bear his son. And so this is what we do know, and Luke keeps it very short. It's interesting that when he talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke gave this long dissertation of the type of people that they were. And they were very godly. But this is what we do know about Mary. She was a Jewess. She is in the Messianic lineage, a descendant of David. Again, this is all fulfilling Scripture. She was a virgin. She was engaged to Joseph, who was also a descendant of David. We know that her fiancé was a carpenter, also of Nazareth, and they were, according to Luke 2:24, very poor, because when they went to the temple to offer up a sacrifice, all they had was two turtle doves. They were very, very poor. And what a message this heavenly messenger has for Mary. Look at verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Can you imagine? This poor little Mary is probably on overload from what Gabriel was sharing. Like, wow, just one thing would be enough, right? "Blessed are you, highly favored one." All right, thank you. That's what I want to hear from the Lord. I don't always feel like that, do you? But the Lord is going to welcome us into heaven one day, say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And just think about the impact this must have had on this young Jewish girl. She was in her teens, a teenager. Just seeing him was enough to shock her. Then to hear him speak. It says that she was troubled. The original language means that she was perplexed. She was fearful, to say the least. But what does Gabriel do? He comforts her heart. He greets her with, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Whew. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you." Notice it says, "among women." That's the original language. Gabriel did not bow down to her. Gabriel did not worship her. He did not pray to her. Gabriel spoke to her and did not say that, "Blessed are you above women," but, "Blessed are you among women." And Mary was highly favored because she was given a special privilege. Highly favored, not full of grace, okay? That's important as well. Mary was blessed among women. Verse 47 tells us that Mary needed a Savior. We'll get to that Wednesday night. Mary would deliver her deliverer. Amazing, isn't it? Think about that, ladies. If you were the one chosen to experience this, what that would have been like, especially as a teenage girl, to deliver your deliverer. And I'm sure she knew the Old Testament scriptures through Isaiah and others, the prophecies. And all of a sudden, you know, Isaiah 7:14 comes to life with her. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And all of a sudden she's going, it's me. What must she have been thinking? I can't imagine. And by the way, and I think this is pretty incredible as well, the three things mentioned in verse 28 are true of every believer in Jesus Christ. This isn't just for Mary. This is for you and I. Number one, you are highly favored. If you are a child of God, you're highly favored. Can you get any more highly favored than being a child of God? Man, and again, sometimes we fail to recognize that because we have to live in this world that just continually tries to tear us down and tempt us and rip us off and steal our joy. I deal with that every day, and I'm sure you do as well. And I don't walk around feeling like I'm highly favored. Oftentimes I feel like I'm a big failure instead of highly favored. That's just real. That's the way it is, but it's a spiritual battle. And when the devil tells me about my past, I just tell him about his future. You know? And when the devil knocks on the door, I say, Jesus, would you get that, please? We're highly favored. How highly favored are you and I? Jesus Christ died for you. He went all the way to the cross. He was brutally murdered and nailed to a tree. And every drop of blood said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And in his omniscience, he had you in mind. And with our human minds, we can't totally comprehend that. The second thing, the Lord is with us. That's his name, Emmanuel, God with us. He's in us. He dwells within us. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's why we need to take care of this temple. We need to be very, very careful what we allow to come into our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our lungs January 1st. We are to be sober-minded, my friend. Thirdly, we are blessed among men. And again, you know, our hearts break for the lost around us, but at the same time, I'm going, thank you, God. Maybe I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. And we're under construction. God's doing a great work. He's promised to complete it under the day of Jesus Christ. And we are highly favored. The Lord is with us. We're blessed among men. We are blessed. We really, really are. And so Gabriel gives her the good news. Look at verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Isn't that great? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Again, look at all the scriptures that are fulfilled. And he will reign over the house of Jacob or Yaakov forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Praise God. And so he said, be calm now, Mary. Take a couple of deep breaths. You have found favor with God, and this is what he's going to do in your womb. Did you notice these important and incredible truths? Number one, the humanity of the Messiah. Yes, he is God, and yet he is man as well. Notice as well that it's he. Another gender reveal thing here. He will be conceived in your womb. Mary, you don't have to go and get that test to show you what gender is. I'm going to tell you in advance. And by the way, keep in mind, and I do this when I read the Gospel of Luke, that this was written by a doctor. Dr. Luke wrote this about the virgin birth and about all these things that we're talking about here. This was written by a doctor, a beloved physician. Secondly, an important, incredible truth, the deity of Jesus Christ. You shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. His name means Jehovah saves, God saves, Jehovah is salvation. Thirdly, it says he will be great in his person and in his work. Can't we all attest to that this morning? Is Jesus not great? He's the greatest. There's none greater. Fourthly, his identity in verse 32, the Son of God. He will be called the Son of the Highest. Fifthly, his title to the throne of David, which establishes him as Messiah. We see that in the book of Genesis, how he had to be part of this wonderful family tree that we find in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke's gospel chapter 3. The genealogy is so, so important for all of us. I know a lot of us skip it over in our one-year Bible. All he begot, 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 begot. But there's a reason for that, so that we know he perfectly fulfilled the genealogy that the prophets said that he must be part of to be who he is. And his everlasting and universal kingdom, it says in verse 33, will be forever. That includes you and I, doesn't it? We shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Till the rent's due? Till we get booted out? No way, man. Forever and ever and ever. We will finally be able to say, Dad, I'm home. Once and for all. Never, ever, ever having to say goodbye again. Incredible. So here we see the complete fulfillment, don't we? Just in these verses of Isaiah 7:14. What does that say? I'm glad you asked. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name God with us, Emmanuel. And also we find in chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Gender reveal again. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Aren't you rejoicing in that one? Whew, finally. A government that will be absolutely perfect, 100%. Democracy is okay, but look at the flaws that we have. We were not created to be under a democracy. You know that, don't you? We were created to be under a theocracy, to be governed by God and God alone. And his name will be called, and I'll tell you what, he is all of these things. He is wonderful. Counselor. You know, oftentimes people come in the office for counseling. I go, you know what? I'm not the wonderful counselor God is. And the only counsel I can give you is from the word of the wonderful counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We can't imagine that because we live in a world that's fallen. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so that's what we see fulfilled here with what Gabriel tells this precious virgin teenager by the name of Mary. All of a sudden, Mary says, I have a question. And it's a good one. It was not of doubt like Zechariah. Remember, Zechariah couldn't speak after he came out of the temple because of his unbelief. But this is not unbelief on Mary's part. This is not a question of doubt, but it's a question of wonder. Notice what she says. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Good question, would you say? She knew that she could not have a baby without a husband. Sex education was very good in those days. Do you know that you can do sex education from God's word with your young children? That's where we need to teach them their sexuality, about sex, and it's not dirty sex, is a gift from God to a husband and a wife. But look what we've done to it in America and throughout the world. Sad. And she knew, this teenager, she'd been well educated. How can I bear a child since I've never had sexual relations with a man? Exactly, Mary. A virgin shall conceive, and that's you, Mary. Look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. Again, she's probably reeling by this time. Can you imagine? But you know what? In our second birth, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, doesn't he? and dwells within us, and he seals us for the day of redemption. That's what it means to be born again, born a second time. We're alive spiritually. And so we see here with Mary, this isn't a human thing. It's a holy thing. The person of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And Mary's son will be wrapped in human flesh, but he will still be God incarnate, God with us. And notice in the second part of verse 35, it says he's the son of God, not the son of Joseph. Joseph will be his stepdad. He will not be his father. Matthew 1:16 tells us that Joseph was the husband of Mary. It doesn't say that Joseph was the father of Jesus. He was his stepdad because Jesus was conceived by the person of the Holy Spirit. So, Gabriel ends his message to Mary with a word of encouragement that with God, nothing will be impossible. Check this out. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this was the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. Yes, there are certain things that God cannot do. Do you know that? Number one, God can't sin. God can't break a promise. Another one that I always mention is God never says, oops. I remind that when I look in the mirror every day. Okay, Lord, you never say oops. You know, you know what you got in the package. But what he does is absolutely incredible, isn't it? Because with our God, with our Heavenly Father, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. And I just have to think that he's going to blow us away throughout all eternity. He's never going to run out of ways to show us things that are absolutely incredible. You see what we have to look forward to? You see what we get out of this first Christmas present that was the best Christmas present? So go buy your Bugatti. I hope you enjoy it. But you know, with a Christian, we can be just as happy with a moped as we can with a Bugatti. Because we know the only begotten, and we don't need the Bugatti. That wasn't in my notes, but it sounded pretty good. Yeah. So he breaks the news to Mary of another miracle birth in the family. I wonder if Mary knew. I wonder if she got news. Her relative, Elizabeth, it says here, has also conceived a son. My mother's name was Elizabeth. We called her Betty. And I wonder if Mary's going, what, Betty's pregnant? Have you heard the news? Zachy and Betty? She is now in her second trimester, Betty is, Elizabeth. She who was called barren. And what a lesson, isn't it? How God takes something that does not exist and he makes something out of it. He took your life and my life that was barren, and what did he do? He gave us life through the person of the Holy Spirit. It goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The term is bara. It means he took something that did not exist, something that was barren, and he made something out of it. And that's exactly what he's done in every one of our lives. We were barren. We don't even realize how barren we were. But yet God brought life into our hearts through his Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? God can do anything. And this time, Mary's response we find in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We can learn a lot from that as well, huh? Number one, every single one of us is a bondservant. The lowest form of slave is what Mary, a female slave, is what Mary refers to herself right here, the maidservant. And the greatest position that you and I can assume is to be a servant of the Most High. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant of all. And there was not one person that ever walked this planet that was a greater servant than Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for everybody. He loved the lepers. He loved the prostitutes. He loved the wine bibbers. He loved the lost. He loved the unlovely. And that's what he did when he saved you and I. He loved the unlovely. Incredible. And Mary's response is just complete surrender. She experienced the grace of God. It says here she believed the word of God. by the Spirit shall be used to accomplish the will of God. We see those three terms, the grace of God, the Word of God, and the will of God. All three apply to us today as well. She was in total submission to the Lord. How do I know that? Well, verse 38 tells us that she was submissive in her body. When we get to 46, she was submissive in her soul. And when we get to verse 47, she was submissive in her spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And again, another lesson for you and I. We're to submit to the Lord in body, soul, and spirit. What an example for every one of us to follow. What an example to teach our youth. Wouldn't you love, maybe some of you were, but I wasn't. My greatest regret that I wasn't saved as a teenager. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a teenager and be submissive to the Lord in your body, soul, and spirit? We need to teach our kids these things today. That's so important. That should be our heart's desire for our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, that they would be submissive to the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. What an example for every teen to follow. And you know what? It's never too late. What an example for all of us to follow in our lives today. So Gabriel departed. Second part of verse 38. On his way. He's a busy guy. The next time we see him, I believe, is in chapter 2, verse 9, his next appearance. He's a busy guy. Now, the theme for our final seven verses is joy. That's why we can sing joy to the world. Joy. We're going to see the joy of Elizabeth. Second trimester. Talk of the senior center. Elizabeth. We're going to see the joy of John. Yeah. John is in his mother's womb, second trimester, and he leaps for joy. Wow, that's pretty heavy, would you say? And he's filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, just as Gabriel said that he would be to Mary. Wow. Yes, life does begin at conception. Thirdly, we're going to see the joy of Mary. Check it out. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I often encourage young pregnant moms to lay your hands on your belly. Pray for that little baby. You know, who knows what God wants to do with that little child in your womb? With God, nothing is impossible. And God wants to use every human soul that he brings into this world. And here we see John. He's excited already, man. We're going to find out he's a wild, hairy man, and he eats locusts, and this is quite a guy. And he preached the same message that Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's the same message that we preach today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within grasp for those of you that don't know Jesus yet. Notice. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you." Notice a confirmation, not above, among women. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." We see a confirmation there of what Gabriel had shared with Mary. "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth knew that Mary was going to bear the Messiah. The mother of my Lord. Isn't that amazing? Again, in advance. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So we have Elizabeth with joy. We have John for joy. Amazing, isn't it, that where the Lord is, there's great joy. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." What a great section. We're going to quit there. And just let me close with a couple of points here. For you and I, so that we can just be reminded of the incredible gift that God has given us through his Son. Again, first gift, best gift, no gift greater. Number one, you're highly favored. And maybe you're going through a struggle now. Who knows? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it may be. That does not mean that God does not still consider you highly favored. He loves you. And he causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. So don't let the enemy rip you off. We can have joy unspeakable. Because when we sing joy to the world, it's because the Lord has come. You are highly favored. Secondly, God is with you. He's not only with you, but he lives within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, you may not have anything under the tree. You may not even have a tree. But because of the tree that would be on Mount Calvary later, you are blessed by the Lord. Because that's the tree that really counts in this world today. We too are filled with the Holy Spirit. We too are filled with joy. We too are blessed when we believe God and with whom is nothing that is impossible. Do you believe that? Do you believe that with God nothing is impossible? Believe it with all your heart. Hold on to that wonderful promise. As well as just, I almost feel like I'm on overload this morning like Mary was with what she heard. Because I don't know how many times I've taught this story, but it still overwhelms me incredibly with the wonderful promises that God gives to us as well, along with Mary. Have you received the greatest gift of all? A gift is not a gift until it's received. You know that, don't you? You can have the most awesome gift that there is for Christmas. And I'm presenting to you this morning the most awesome gift that anyone can ever have for Christmas. But it will not become a gift to you until you receive it. And if you would like to receive the greatest gift of all, I'd just like you to stand quickly this morning like I did 35 years ago. And many of you have done over the years to receive the greatest gift of all. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. You must receive Jesus Christ personally and publicly. And if you would like to do that, I'd like you to do that right now. Jesus loves you. He's the greatest gift of all. Have you received it? Anyone? As we close. Do you know that you know? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these incredible promises. Thank you that your word is true. And it's the same yesterday, today, and always. In every word of this incredible book called the Bible, every promise that we have, we can take even better than taking it to the bank, we can take it all the way to heaven. We thank you for your eternal promises. We thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we are highly favored. We don't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. But you have shown us your grace and your mercy and your love, and you consider us highly favored, and you are with us, and we are truly blessed. I pray, Lord, that we would just refocus. Sometimes we get off focus in the time of the year from all that we see, all the smoke and mirrors, all the glitter and the glamour of that which is not even close to the true meaning of Christmas. And may we see through all of that. And at the same time, Lord, use us as instruments. Use us as your people to go out to the malls and to the shopping centers and to these other places, and to share the true gift of what Christmas is all about with many people out there that are tired and haggard and broke and have missed the whole meaning of what Emmanuel, God with us, is all about. Would you do that? Lord, just allow us to deliver that Christmas present to one person this season and change their destiny forever and ever and ever. So we thank you for everyone here this morning. Bless every family, every single person, every widow, every widower. Be with the Cutts family back in Vermont, God, I pray. And I pray for each and every one of us this Christmas season that this would be the best one ever for us, because we have the greatest gift of all in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We do have food upstairs. We're going to have a little Christmas party. If you're visiting or you didn't bring any food or anything, we got tons of food. This is Calorie Chapel, you know.